weird out there today.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's snowing and raining and sunny all at the same time.
It sounds a bit like end of the world weather.
A little bit, yeah.
End of the world, what?
Yeah.
Again?
I mean, actually, we're getting many calamities here. We've got the weird weather, and we've got the distributed denial-of-service attack hitting the Ask an Atheist servers right now. It's very strange.
Yeah, I think that's the third seal being broken.
Yeah, I think so. Welcome to Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. My name is Sam, and with me today is Mike.
How's it going?
And Nick, how you doing?
I'm doing great. This is what I say like every time I come here. I can't think of anything else to say, though. I'm doing great, or I'm doing fantastic.
You're on the radio, so you're doing great. But speaking of the end of the world, and boy, it's been a long time since I've said this, did you know that it's 284 days until the end of the world again?
Da-da-da!
Yes.
Yeah, this is nothing new, except this time, this is the famous end of the world, not the Christian, I'm trying to steal the thunder from the big end of the world. We're talking Mayan end of the world.
They've done movies about this particular end of the world. In fact, they did a movie called 2012 in 2009, I think it was?
Yeah, this is the Roland Emmerich. This is the same people who give you the usual destruction porn epics like Independence Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe The Day After Tomorrow?
The Day After Tomorrow, indeed, yeah. And Becky just saw this movie a couple weeks ago. She found it in my movie collection and watched it and was just laughing the whole time.
2012 or Day After Tomorrow?
She knows The Day After Tomorrow through Riff Tracks, but this was 2012, which I don't have the Riff Tracks version of.
I've heard this one's pretty funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's so weird.
How funny is it going to be after next year?
I think the humor value does go up once the fear is allayed.
It's kind of like a disaster film about Y2K at that point.
Oh, you remember those Killer Bee disaster movies back in the 80s? It reminds me, like, 5 years from now, it's going to look like those Killer Bee disaster movies to us. But we're not going to talk about the Mayan end of the world, I guess, any more than we already have. But
maybe, yeah. I mean, what can we say that hasn't already been covered on Coast to Coast AM?
Exactly, exactly. But we've got more blasts from the past for you guys. We're going to have some Harold Camping news. This comes to us from Adele M. Banks from Religion News, and Harold Camping essentially apologizes. Radio evangelist Harold Camping has called his erroneous prediction that the world would end last May 21st an incorrect and sinful statement and said his ministry is out of the prediction business. We have learned the very painful lesson that all of creation is in God's hands and he will end time in his time, not ours, reads the statement signed by Camping and his staff and posted on his ministry's website. We humbly recognize that God may not tell his people the date when Christ will return any more than he tells anyone the date that they will die physically.
And he didn't learn this lesson 18 years ago when he first did this?
This is prediction number 4, after all.
Is the fourth prediction we're not going to know?
I think so. I think that he's going back to the original biblical text for that one.
As our former president said, fool me once, shame. But fool me, you can't get fooled again.
Ah, yes, indeed. The letter makes no reference to Camping's explanation last year that he had miscalculated by 5 months and the world would instead end on October 21st, 2011. The dual predictions landed Camping in the number 7 spot of the Religion News Writers Association list of top 10 religion stories of 2011. You're welcome.
So it's, you know, it's fun to kick around this palsied, half-dead, chicken-necked freak a bit, but
right.
There is a serious undertone here.
Absolutely.
And it comes with this apology. I would call it too little, too late. And people like to forget that this was covered by both the New York Post and NPR talking about two different families who had lost everything after following the trail that this guy set for them about the end of the world. They gave up everything, budgeted everything, so that they would run out of money at precisely May 21st, because they thought they were going to get beamed up by Jesus by then.
There's very little difference between this and, let's say, the Marshall Applewhite crowd, except when their end of the world didn't come, they decided to jump the gun a little bit.
Or they ended their own world.
Yeah, jump the pudding. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the phrase was.
Yeah, this isn't like the Jim Jones thing where they ended the world by ending themselves.
Yeah.
These people are left here with this sense of nothing happening, a sense of confusion from disillusionment.
Like
probably.
That guy in New Jersey who had $200,000 saved up in retirement and he believed in camping, so he spent it all on advertising for the end of the world and one of them RVs with the thing on the side, and he was going around evangelizing. Anybody hear what he's been up to lately?
Well, he's probably working, and he's going to be working for a very long time because he gave his entire retirement savings up.
Yeah. And as far as I know, Camping's family radio ministry still has something to the tune of $114 million at its disposal.
Yeah, and of course, none of that's going to go to the people who were victimized by this, and Harold Camping is going to come over again. So, I said I was sorry. What do you want me to do?
No, he's not really apologizing.
Yeah, it's your classic non-apology apology.
It's the sort of apology that just tries to put a bookend on something and forgets that he does. Well, he may not necessarily have a legal obligation to pay back the people whose lives he's destroyed.
Yeah.
I'd say he certainly has a moral one.
I do, clearly.
Absolutely.
If you have this kind of money and you know that there are people who are now destitute because of a prediction that you made, why, and you have all this money just lying around, and certainly you're never going to have this kind of high point in your career ever again, especially because he's almost 90.
Right.
Why wouldn't you give that money to these people if you really are this good Christian, you know, and considering he probably wants to fit through the eye of a needle?
Yeah, you'd think.
Well, duh, you have to have lots of money to get into heaven. Don't you know that?
Well, there is the prosperity gospel. You say that jokingly, but there are a bunch of people who believe if they pray hard enough, they will be given money. They will receive riches from heaven. That's what's his name? The guy that James Randi would go after, Peter Popoff.
Peter Popoff
is big about that. He'll, you know, here is my eyedropper full of special water that you drink and then pray and then send me $37.73. And
I believe Joel Osteen is a member of that crowd too. He believes that that Jesus will reward your faith with material wealth.
Yeah, I've always thought about getting on Peter Popoff's mailing list to get all this weird stuff that he sends you, but I have a feeling it's basically the snail mail version of an STD. Once you get it, you're never rid of it. There's, you know, you need to get on some weird drug to get off of it.
You have to pay for it, isn't it? You have to pay for all that miracle spring water.
They send you free stuff with the expectation that you consume it and then pray over it and then send it back to him with money usual trick.
Just like a lifelong STD, this is something that you will have to deal with and mitigate for the rest of your life, also have to explain to people who see your mail.
Right. That is the problem. If I have somebody stop by and they see that he got mail from Peter Popoff and they don't know about this enormous activism thing I'm doing, they might think I'm a loon and leave.
But this is actually a nice parallel between to Harold Camping, because Peter Popoff was a con artist. He would basically sell this miracle spring water, and people spent their entire life savings on this miracle spring water.
Oh, yeah, and then he'd show up on Current Affair, one of them popular news stories, and the reporter would chase him. Peter Popoff, is it true that you steal money from old ladies? And he would run away into his
$150,000 Porsche.
Yeah, he's running out of his $4 million building into his 150 grand Porsche, saying, I'm not going to talk to you. I don't steal money from anybody. All I do is give them spring water.
But doesn't the fact that he's really religious and really rich prove the prosperity gospel is correct?
Of course. Hey, you're not supposed to ask that question.
The same thing that a get-rich-quick scheme artist is also really rich.
Other people outside of the cloak of religion get arrested for this sort of thing. It's a Ponzi scheme, RICO, pyramid scheme, stuff like that. If this wasn't within the trappings of religion, it would be illegal.
It's a wonderful shield, because normally if you pretend to sell a product or service and you don't actually provide that product and service and take a lot of money from somebody, you can go to jail for that.
Yeah. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're talking about current events, and shall we continue on in the good news ride that we're on today? Okay, Iraqi student stoned to death for being emo.
We should probably explain what emo is really quick.
Can you explain what emo is? Because I don't.
To a certain extent. I will warn, if there's any emo listeners, I'm not going to say a lot of friendly things.
Now, is this furries all over again?
Well, it's not as bad as furries. Okay. Emo is essentially people who are very narcissistic and very self-important, crooning and singing about how emotionally sensitive they are. It's a wonderful bit of irony.
Wow.
Look at how black my eyes are. I'm in so much pain.
Ouch.
And there's a weird irony, is that a lot of times, a lot of very emo musicians or singers like to talk about how put upon they are, and they might have a point in here because they're being stoned to death.
The Iraqi students have been stoned to death for their emo haircuts by religious extremists in Baghdad in the past month after Iraq's interior ministry dubbed it devil-worshipping. Iraq's moral police released a statement on the interior ministry's website condemning the emo phenomenon among Iraqi youth, declaring its intent to eliminate the trend.
Wait, moral police?
Moral police. Yeah. Didn't they have moral police?
They have, I mean, this is the same thing they had. I know that they have a Department of Virtue and Vice in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
That basically grabs women from off the street and does, you know, forced virginity tests on them. So this is about the same kind of thought process.
I will say we do have the ATF, which is sort of a vice police, if you will, but it's not, they're not doing virginity tests, really.
Yeah, this is kind of this weird, creepy...
Well, maybe they are with those new 3D scanners. I don't know.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what it's about.
It feels a bit like a really creepy religious version of the jocks picking out the nerds, and in this case, killing them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I wonder if this is helping My Chemical Romance sales in Iraq, or hurting them.
They wear strange, tight clothes that have pictures on them, such as skulls, and use stationery that are shaped as skulls. They also wear rings on their noses and tongues, and do other strange activities.
Strange activities?
Sounds like any high school to me.
That's kind of putting a big gray area on it, but saying strange activities.
It's the same thing in the Satanic Panic thing in the 80s, where Satan killed children and other weird things that we're leaving open for later for later discussion.
The funny thing is, with a religious fundamentalist, other strange activities is a very broad definition.
Yeah. Now, here's where it gets less funny. A group of armed men dressed in civilian clothing led dozens of teenagers to secluded areas a few days ago, stoned them to death, and then disposed their bodies in garbage dumpsters across the capital, according to activists. Activists told the Cairo-based Al-Akbar website. The exact death toll remains unclear, but Hana Al-Bayati of Brussels Tribunal, an NGO dealing with Iraqi issues, said the current figure ranges between 90 and 100 people.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah, that is.
That is a frightening amount of people to be killed for such a stupid, stupid reason.
Yeah, yeah. It's just...
Do we need to still have discussions about why it's a bad idea to give religion this sort of power?
I'm reminded of a World Inferno Friendship Society song, if anybody knows that one. But we do have a call, and it's Peggy from Kent, and she'd like to issue a challenge to local atheist organizations. How are you doing today, Peggy?
I'm doing good.
Great. So what do you have for us?
Well, it just seems like, you know, the whole word atheist put such fear in people sometimes, not understanding. And I really appreciate the programming. And I think sometimes, possibly, it's hard to get advertising because they're afraid to advertise with your program. And I think for those of us who listen every week and who value what you do, I think I'd just like to issue a challenge today. You know, there's that little, you say something on every program, you know, to go to the site and to donate. And I think a lot of times we want to, or, you know, by the end of the program we forget to. So I'd like to issue a challenge to everyone listening and everyone who downloads the program today to go to the site, to really make a commitment to go to the site. And even if you donate $5 or $10, I think it would make a huge difference. And I think we have to really support, you know, this kind of programming, because we don't have that voice very often, you know, and we should really back it with money until the word atheist isn't, you know, such a scary thing.
Thank you. You've put it better than I could. Being an atheist, I feel like there's the whole reason I got started on this path with these guys here is I didn't see my opinions in the media at all. And it's like the only way I could do it. It's something that Jello Biafra said. Sometimes in order to have the media say what you want to say, you have to become the media.
Exactly.
And that's basically what we're doing here. But we are, you know, with this stuff costs money. And, it's very difficult to do this just based on the advertising. When we produce the show, we are also the sales force for Ask an Atheist for getting advertising. And I can tell you, it's been difficult.
Yeah, we've hit a couple brick walls where we have this sense that something's really, really positive, and then it just kind of slips out of our fingers. And it can be really frustrating, and we know that it's going to be a steep climb, that the reason we have the show is also the impediment to getting advertising to keep the show going.
Yeah.
So it feels a bit Sisyphean at times, but...
But that's sometimes it's the nature of activism. If it was easy to get advertising, maybe we wouldn't need to do this quite so much.
Right. And so until that day happens, I think it's really our responsibility as people who listen and take advantage, you know, of what you're doing to be there to support. And $5 is a cup of coffee, you know?
Yeah.
And it would make a huge difference. I'm sure you have a lot of people who download and maybe with the best of intentions are going to donate. So I'm really making a challenge this week, and it'd be interesting to see next week, you know, if people step up. So I'm going on right now. I'm donating $50, but I challenge other people to go on and donate 5 or 10 or whatever they can if they want to keep this message out there and to keep, you know, the separation of church and state and the freedom from religion. If we want that, we gotta step up. So thank you all for what you do.
Thank you very much. It's bad for radio, but you've left me speechless.
I know. Wow.
Thank you very much.
Have a great day.
You too. Peggy said it as better than I could.
She basically summed up why we have this show in the first place.
Yeah. Wow. Again, bad for radio, a little speechless. But fortunately, we have to go to a break.
Nice segue.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We're going to go to a break, and we come back, and we're going to say some bad things about Kirk Cameron.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
Sigmund Freud said, "The voice of the intellect is a soft one, but it does not rest until it has gained a hearing." Whether you're at a point in life where you are questioning your beliefs, or if you've always been an atheist or agnostic, the Auburn Freethought Society is a place where your own voice of intellect will be heard. You'll interact with like-minded people, engage in intellectual conversation, and share your experiences with others in the Auburn, Washington area. At Auburn Freethought Society, we encourage critical thought and reason. For details, find us on Facebook and on Meetup.com. Auburn Freethought Society. Have real discussion and share real ideas. Freely.
Come to this year's Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College in Renton, Washington. Speakers include Richard Dawkins, Oxford Professor Emeritus of Biology, and friend of the show Sean Faircloth, author of Attack of the Theocrats. In addition to this keynote address at the conference, Mr. Dawkins will be repeating his comments for the general public Sunday afternoon. Register for the full conference at nwfreethought.org or reserve your $5 ticket for the Sunday afternoon program at the same website by clicking on the second session added link. Go to nwfreethought.org and register today.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And, for those of you in the atheist community, you're probably familiar with what we're going to be talking about next. But it's because of who it is. It's not usually widely distributed. He's a guy who was famous in the 80s, had a lot of beefcake pictures taken of him, and now he's basically a nut, right?
Are you talking about Hulk Hogan?
No, the other one.
Oh, the other one.
Yeah.
Jesse the Body Ventura?
No, not what? Him either.
Okay, so this past week, we've kept you in suspense long enough. Former child star and current fundamentalist moonbat, Kirk Cameron,
and star of three Left Behind movies.
Well, movie being used loosely, I guess.
And star being used.
So he has said that homosexuality was, quote, unnatural and ultimately destructive to so many of the foundations of civilizations. Kirk is always known for the light touch.
So soft sell all the way.
All the way. As you can probably guess, a lot of people aren't going to be happy about this. There was a lot of shocked people who apparently haven't watched every single other media appearance by Kirk Cameron in the last 10 years. Because when he goes on TV, he normally just butchers evolutionary biology or is verbally attacking atheism with his banana fear-mongering guru, Ray Comfort.
And let's not forget the crocoduck and bullfrog.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
After all of this, are we really surprised that he's homophobic?
No.
He's taken a lot of flack for this, and he's getting a lot of noise. People are angry. People on gay rights websites, on liberal websites, on I'm not a jerk websites.
Yeah.
Just down the board, you know, because, you know, when you say that two boys kissing is literally destroying civilization, it's not going to make people happy.
No, not really.
So this is his response.
Oh, here we go.
I should be able to express moral views on social issues, especially those that have been the underpinning of Western civilization for 2,000 years, without being slandered, accused of hate speech, and told from those who preach tolerance that I need to either bend my beliefs to their moral standards or be silent when I'm in the public square.
I think he has the right to be as, well, crazy as he wants. We also have the right to criticize him for that.
Yeah, first of all, Kirk, it is hate speech. When you say that an entire group of people should be second-class citizens, even when you say it in an even reasonable tone, and even when you mention that you have a couple gay friends, you're still saying that they should be second-class citizens.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be given equal rights.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of gay friends, but they shouldn't drink at the same water fountain as I do.
So, are people really trying to silence this guy? I don't know of anyone.
Well, there's two things for me here. First of all, he says he should be able to express moral views on social issues. We're right. He's right. He should. He is. He's allowed. He has not been censored in any way. He's had a national... He was on Piers Morgan on CNN. He had a national stage to make these statements. Clearly, he's not being censored in any way. And I want to know when these people are saying these nutball things. I want to know that Kirk Cameron is the kind of guy who will go on CNN and be a jerk, because then they're easy to spot.
Absolutely. I want... That's the thing with bad ideas. It's not that I want them banned. I don't want bad ideas banned. I want bad ideas put out so that everyone can see them, and then I want people to not want them.
One of the very important things here in this quote, which you can't hear because we're reading it, is that tolerance is in quotes in this. And when a guy like him talks about tolerance, he's not talking about tolerance the way that you and I think of it. This is a code word for him for something that the Antichrist does. When he talks about tolerance, he's talking about the opposite of tolerance.
I think, like, basically going back to what we were talking about before, I want people to know what he's saying. I want him to be broadcast on every major media news outlet, because I believe that sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Very nice.
And the part where you say you want to be able to talk without being criticized, because let's get down to it, that is really what you're asking for here, Kirk.
Yeah.
It tells me you just don't get free speech. just as you have the right to speak, so do your critics. They have the right to respond to what you say. They have the right to call you names, because frankly, you've earned a couple of them. And let's stop pretending like they're the people throwing the first punches here. Free speech does not mean that you have the right to speak in a vacuum. And if people respond negatively to your beliefs or your statements, that doesn't mean that your right to make those statements is taken away. Like you said, Sam, not only does this guy get a national stage to air these views on CNN, he regularly gets an opportunity to air these exact same views on CNN.
And he's got 15 websites in which he appears with Ray Comfort and others to talk about these things. His stupidity is nationally known. It's not a secret. He's not being censored. We all get to see it. He's apparently makes a big deal on his website that he's getting converts. In no way is his free speech being curtailed. But he wants to pretend that free speech applies to him and doesn't apply to other people in the same way. Like, he's calling people out. He's insulting them. And when people insult him back, suddenly it's an issue of free speech and he should be able to speak unmolested.
He, I believe, is the poster child of, well, American religious or Christian privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is really what it is. Kirk, your privilege is showing, buddy. Maybe it's just that loudmouth Christian types like Kirk Cameron have had this monopoly on the national discussion when it comes to things like belief and gay rights for decades. So, you know, they've had this ability just to talk at people, to shame them, and to try to legislate at them. And now that we're starting in our conversation to be on a much more equal standpoint, where what we're seeing, I think, is that the stigma is being transferred.
Yeah.
That gay folks, lesbians, their allies, have had this stigma attached to them for such a long time in terms of these discussions, and the tide is turning. Over the last few years, the tide is turning, and that stigma is now being transferred to the people who oppose their rights.
He's betting on the days of the Moody Bible Institute. He's calling back to the old-time religion radio shows, much like every other show on the station we're on right now when we're not on Sundays, is that he's expecting an age that is gone, an age where Sunday in the media and in the religious parts of media, you were able to talk, you were able to say, and nobody cared.
He's expecting a level of dominance that is completely unreasonable, because he doesn't think that anyone has a right to respond.
There's another thing is that he's claiming privilege, but he's also claiming authority. He is speaking on the authority of his God, and he's saying that he has authority to speak on these things that you do not. And that you don't get that we, as people who don't believe in his God, don't have any right to speak because we are not fortified by the Lord. He has rights that this is privilege, but this is privilege on a whole nother level. This isn't inbuilt social privilege. This is an authority privilege that he is assuming because he believes he is speaking on behalf of his God.
He thinks that the referee is backing his team.
Exactly.
And as a consequence of such, his team is always right. And this is what gets down to what I think is the stupidest thing that Kirk Cameron says. And by the way, that's kind of a tough fight. But the stupidest thing he said is he actually accuses people of slandering him.
Right.
Before we get into that, let's talk about the legal definition of slander.
What is slander, Mike?
Slander is the oral communication of false statements that are harmful to a person's reputation. If the statements are proven to be true, it is a complete defense to a charge of slander. Oral opinions that don't contain statements of fact don't constitute slander. So, for instance, if I were going to say that Kirk Cameron was a child molester, that would be slandering him, but saying that he's a fundamentalist moonbat and knows nothing about science would not.
Right.
I'm not making a statement of fact, but of opinion, where that's where he gets sort of wrong, which is a lot of the criticisms being lobbed his way, one are opinion-based, and two are true.
Well, there's also there's also sort of a tenet in slander, or, you know, slander defenses, where if something is obviously literature or obviously false, or if it says it's false, like if I were to write, oh, I don't know, Growing Pains fan fiction where Kirk Cameron went to Arcturus 7 and sold black market organs.
Or if I wrote a story about
harvested from children.
Absolutely. Or if I wrote a story about how Kirk Cameron raped Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly that is not plausible at all, and it's clearly for satire purposes, Kirk Cameron's lawyers. So, it's really funny. So, Kirk, if I wanted to sum this up, there is a person that's hurting your reputation. There is a person who is making statements that are defaming you, that are hurting you. His name is Kirk Cameron. And every single time you go on the air and say something that hurts you, you can't blame the people who go, wow, Kirk Cameron's kind of a jerk.
You open look mouth, insert foot.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Kirk Cameron, I know you probably don't have the shame to do it, but you know what? You earned this spot, buddy.
It's really interesting about Kirk Cameron. I wrote a blog post earlier this week about Theodicy, or however you pronounce it. And in it, I reference a blogger that I'm actually very... I'm actually rather into. His name is Fred Clark. He's a Christian, and he's on the East Coast somewhere, but he's doing a page-by-page, blow-by-blow critique of the Left Behind novels. He does one novel, then he does the movie. He does the second novel, and then he does the second movie.
Wow, that is painful. I don't know if I could do that.
He has committed to doing all 9,000 books that in the Left Behind series, and he's doing a really good job of it. And whenever he does a movie, he talks about Kirk Cameron and how Kirk Cameron is a bad Christian, a bad person, and a bad actor. And he's like, think about Kirk Cameron's career arc. Think about the kind of stuff that Kirk Cameron does. Now compare it to somebody else who is a late addition to that TV show who has had a slightly different career arc.
Yeah, it's been nominated for Oscars, who appeared in movies that actually have a budget with two commas in it.
Yeah, Leonardo DiCaprio we're talking about. DiCaprio takes care to be a good actor, cares about his craft, and works hard to be a good actor, and it shows. He does quality stuff. Whereas Kirk Cameron is a Christian first and foremost, everything had to be about Christianity when he made that conversion back when he was on TV, and he ignored everything else, and as a result, is having really, you know, only gets his message out by saying ridiculous things on CNN.
He makes ridiculous sorts of, he puts these ridiculous conditions on everything that he does professionally.
Yeah.
That he wants everyone in the movie to be a Christian, that he wants anybody who's not a Christian to be taken out. And when you take good actors out of a movie, you're left with something that has the quality level of Left Behind.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see that that's where his career goes. If he's that unwilling to sort of branch out of it, and it's so funny that he spends so much of his time proudly proclaiming some of the stupidest things that even other Christians are ashamed of, that he acts like it's a big gotcha question when you ask him a question about the thing that he trumpets every other day of the week on a TV show.
It's actually really funny about the movies that Fred Clark pointed out that some of these actors are good character actors, and they're pretty good at it, and the material they're being given is so bad that you see, like, a real character trying to escape the bounds of this terrible script. And once you watch the movie through that lens, it becomes this really interesting Mystery Science Theater-esque experience.
Yeah, those movies, we actually attended a live showing that Seattle Atheists put on of the first Left Behind movie.
Yes, indeed.
And that was a bit of a chore. It was a funny chore, but it was a chore to get through.
It was a slog, yeah.
There are so many instances in that movie where I'm thinking, these are popular books. They were bought by a lot of people. There's a lot of rich people involved in this project. Why does it look sub-TV movie par? Why does it look like something that's a Saturday Night Live sketch?
Because they're not good stories. That's the reason why. You know, you can polish a turd all you want, but it's still going to be a turd.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still have the problem of, say, the Michael Bay Roland Emmerich, is that you can have a turd and pile a budget on it. And actually have a special effect.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that really made me angry more than anything watching that movie is I was waiting for the Rapture special effect. And the fact that it's not that hard to make a person disappear in their clothing to fall. They did this in 1977 in Star Wars, for Christ's sake.
They did this in other movies that were about the Rapture with budgets that are like one-tenth of the Left Behind budget. And they did a better job of it than the Left Behind movies ever did. And I really wonder at the sales figures for the Left Behind books. We're working on an episode about Christian video games, or rather religious video games, but most of the religious video games are Christian. And I bought a copy of the Left Behind real-time strategy game. I bought a copy of it, and it's this enormous box. It's compared to other, like a box for StarCraft or something like that, it's twice or three times the size, and it's heavy. It feels like it's got a huge manual in it. Like, oh, this is a bit weird. And I'm shaking it, and yeah, there's a big book in there along with some CDs. And I'm like, oh, I bet you they shipped it with a Bible, right? I'm thinking, oh, this is witnessing, they're going to give me a Bible. I take it home, open it up. It ain't a Bible. It's the first Left Behind novel.
So is that the only way they can sell those books now?
Sometimes I wonder. And if you haven't played the Left Behind,
do you actually play Kirk Cameron's character? What is his name, like Buck Stanley or something?
Something Buck Williams, I believe.
Like punt dropkick or something?
Yeah, you play... It's not Kirk Cameron. They didn't get the rights to use his likeness because money.
Like, it's that expensive.
Yeah, I know. But they didn't anyway. And it's very strange. Like, the Colbert Report had it right. You pray at people or you kill them. It's not as violent as, say, StarCraft. But for what it is, it's a very violent video game. You kill people in it. You're a Christian. You're like, I'm going to convert you. Well, I can't convert you. Okay, let me shoot my gun at you. And wait, what? This is not good. This is the worst part of it. It's like the South Park cartoons. People actually believe this. It should be at the bottom of the screen at all times. And the worst part of it, the worst part at all, is between missions, you're subjected to a Christian contemporary music track in a cutscene. It's gag worthy.
It makes you want to eat your own face.
The Christian subculture loves their nepotism.
Man, they do.
It's not like they get a good song. They just get a Christian song. Whether it's good or not, whatever. It's Christian. But it has such a good message.
It doesn't matter that it's the same two chords over and over again for 6 minutes.
Yeah, so that I guess that's a preview for our Christian video game special working.
Exactly.
You probably shouldn't be surprised that Christian video games are pretty bad.
No. And the thing is, if you have an opportunity to play this game and you like irony, I suggest you check it out. But make sure you're buying it secondhand. You know, I got mine from Goodwill. You know, I mean, I'm not giving these people money.
Is there any place where you can actually find it new? Besides just buying it online.
It's a bit old now. It's like 6 or 7 years old now, isn't it?
I would imagine. It's. I remember the controversy was from like 2005, 2006.
Yeah, they've come out with two add-on packs since.
And, add-on packs?
Yeah, and you can play the other side, I found out, in the later add-on packs, but you're not allowed to win. It's a real stacked deck.
Well, that's unfair.
But it's great because your base units are people who just go around and pray, and if you play the bad guy, your base units are people who go around and play music. Ooh, rap is going to make you evil.
I know, Sam, you're pretty good with computers. Couldn't you go into the source code of that video game and make it so that the evil devil worshippers can win?
Is this the Kobayashi Maru test?
It might.
Are you Captain Kirk?
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
Or maybe it's a test of character that you can still be really evil and go down with the ship with a straight face.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and I think we're talking about Kirk Cameron and his trip to the moon where he keeps orphanages where he, you know, removes all the atmosphere from things.
I thought we were talking about how he enjoys eating his own earwax.
Sandwiches of it, right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the best way to take it, I guess.
Okay.
Oh, I think we were talking about how he smokes crack in an alleyway and does things crack
in Saturn
on
a different planet
that I cannot mention.
So if you have ways to slander our friend Kirk Cameron, remember, they got to be untrue. They got to be like Chuck Norris level ridiculous. Go to our website, askanatheist.tv. Send them our way and we will giggle about them and maybe read some on the air.
Doesn't Kirk Cameron like Nickelback?
No. Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. While you think about Kirk Cameron and Nickelback, listen to these ads.
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports bracelets?
Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics, we just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at seattleskeptics.org.
That's seattleskeptics.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Billy, I'm a certified ghost expert.
Wow, that's so credible.
Billy, your great-great-grandmother says she loves you and to give me your lunch money.
Aw, anything for family. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
I know.
If you long to escape the religious bias on your television, if you love scientific shows, if you think that funny and thought-provoking are not mutually exclusive, then we'd like to welcome you to a network made with you in mind. Secular Video Network is an online source for free thinking programs. We feature a range of videos from Mr. Deedy, The Thinking Atheist, and Richard Dawkins. While watching, you can participate in our live chat for engaging discussions. There is no cost, there is no proselytizing, just nonstop thought-provoking shows. So visit us at secularvideonetwork.com.
Come to this year's Northwest Freethought Alliance Conference, March 30th through April 1st at Renton Technical College in Renton, Washington. Speakers include Richard Dawkins, Oxford Professor Emeritus of Biology, and friend of the show Sean Faircloth, author of Attack of the Theocrats. In addition to this keynote address at the conference, Mr. Dawkins will be repeating his comments for the general public Sunday afternoon. Register for the full conference at nwfreethought.org or reserve your $5 ticket for the Sunday afternoon program at the same website by clicking on the second session added link. Go to nwfreethought.org and register today.
Join us after today's show at the Office Bar and Grill in downtown Tacoma. Offering a wide selection of tap and bottled beer, a full bar of your favorite liquor, and a taste bud tantalizing menu, come on down and shoot the breeze with the Ask an Atheist crew. Who can argue with your motives? After all, you're at the office. The Office Bar and Grill is at 813 Pacific Avenue in Tacoma.
If you enjoy the programming we create here on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship helps keep our show on the air and improve the quality of our broadcasts. Donors get access to exclusive Ask an Atheist content. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we've got a phone call. This is Andre from Cypress, Texas, and he wants to talk about a YouTube video involving Cain and Abel. How you doing today?
Hello?
Hello, how you doing?
How you doing? I wanted to talk about the question of, I was watching this YouTube video, and there was this priest on the air, on the video, and a question came on the screen, and it said, if God created Adam and Eve, and they had two sons, which were Cain and Abel, then how did humans come about?
You're not supposed to think about that.
Well, that's the big answer, but I know that at one point after Cain kills his brother and is cursed to walk the earth like Cain from Kung Fu, that God actually creates a second woman and makes it his wife.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah, that he gives him a wife.
He goes back to playmaker and starts over?
Pretty much. He goes to live in the land of Nod.
The people of the East. Is that what this is?
So there were people of the East, too, I guess.
Yeah. If Becky were here, she would talk about the sort of the two, how Genesis contains two different beginning of the world stories and how they're very different and speak to very different things. And this might be where they try to rectify both of those stories.
I know that at one point the earth is created first, and then the waters are added, and at one point the waters are created first, and then the land comes out of it. I mean, there's two conflicting stories. Things are created in completely different orders.
Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is clearly a fairy tale. I don't have much in the way of anything good to say about the story, I guess.
Is that I think it's safe to say we don't think it's true.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right. Anything else, sir?
No, that's it.
All right. Yeah. Cool. You have a good day there.
Oh, you too.
All right. Bye. All right, Sal, shall we get to some news, perhaps?
Of course.
All right. Here's a good one. I always like Catholics. They're fun. this comes to us via the Associated Press. Pope Benedict, XVI, waded into the American culture wars on Friday, urging visiting American bishops to beef up their teaching about the evils of premarital sex and cohabitation, and denouncing what he called the powerful gay marriage lobby in America. Benedict said that there was an urgent need for American Catholics to discover the value of chastity, an essential element of Christian teaching that he said had been subject to unjust ridicule. The Pope also told bishops not to back down in the face of powerful political and cultural currents seeking to alter the legal definition of marriage.
Is anyone else really sick of getting morality lectures from a guy who lies about effectiveness of condoms in AIDS-stricken sub-Saharan Africa, and a guy who has orchestrated and helped cover up child rape in his own organization and shuffled them off to get new victims? I mean, at this point, does anyone take this guy seriously as a moral teacher?
There are people who take them seriously. They're called Catholics, but even they have their occasional issue with the guy.
I don't know if there's that many Catholics that really listen to him anymore.
Yeah, I couldn't say. I mean, it's one of those things where we kind of have to take him. We kind of have to take Catholics at their word that the Pope is the spokesperson for Christ on Earth. That's what their catechism says. Mm-hmm. So unless they tell me otherwise, I tend to believe that they listen to this guy.
No, I'm sure they pay him a certain amount of deference.
Right.
But when you look at a lot of the polls, at least of American Catholics, the candidates in the GOP nomination, for instance, that are saying the exact same things that Pope Benedict is saying here, are actually losing the Catholic vote.
Right.
That on all this talk about contraception, 98% of Catholic women have said that they use contraception of some kind.
Fair point.
And the actually support of same-sex marriage, the other thing he's talking about here, is actually higher among Catholics than a lot of other Christians. So I guess the question I throw back to your court there, sane Catholics, why are you Catholics? because every single time this guy comes out there in his jewel-encrusted robes out of his golden throne, he's doing that on your dime.
That's true.
Every time you put money in the collection plate, a portion of that goes toward the homophobic rants of a scary man who looks like one of those collectible troll dolls with the tall hair. So why not break off? Why give this guy your money? You are funding him.
I mean, well, I think part of it is the sort of the it's a cultural identifier as well as a religious identifier for many people.
I mean, the Anglicans broke off for a really stupider reason than this. This is a really good reason to back off.
To say the Anglicans broke off for a stupid reason is pushing it a little bit. It was one guy. I mean, it was one guy. So, my whole country.
Like, I'm mad that I can't divorce my wife, so I'm going to make my own church. It's not even like the Lutherans.
It's like blaming all of Seattle because the Sonics left. It's not quite equatable.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to come up with a reason to break off and to form your own church, I mean, they have the people.
Yeah.
But it seems like there's this glass ceiling for sanity and decency in the Catholic Church that you can have one stripe on your shoulder, but you can't have four.
I think it's to the point that, Sam, you make a lot on this show that a lot of the times the people who follow the religion are more moral than the actual religion itself.
We've all said that. This is clearly a case of that. Catholics in the United States, we believe, are better than Pope Benedict XVI. You know, I mean, it's saying it that way.
It's really not a hard hurdle to clear.
No, it's not really hard to do. And here's the thing. He's talking about the value of chastity. And this needs to be said. This is a guy who runs his own country and he dresses like something from the Wizard of Oz, and he's trying to control your sex life. This is basic social control. You control people's sex lives. You control most of their life. I mean, they try to control your marriage. He's trying to control your marriage. He's trying to control how you have kids, and he's trying to control how and when you have sex, and to turn it from something biological into a religious rite. This is bald social control. This is how religious people or people in the clergy make you do what they want.
Yeah, it feels like nobody's already, they're already not buying it. By and large,
that right.
Here
it's a little different in South America.
A little different in South America, certainly.
Yeah.
Certainly different in Ireland, though. That is actually breaking down very quickly in Ireland.
It is.
But these guys have had this long monopoly that what they say goes, and if you say something bad about a priest, then you're automatically assumed to be a liar.
Yeah.
That is very quickly breaking apart, and it seems like when you have this guy who's this arch crazy conservative. Who lies about science, who lies about sex education, and you have a American Catholic public who, by and large, with the exception of your Rick Santorums, is much more liberal, much more socially tolerant.
Yeah.
And they're helping foot some of the bill for that. I know a lot of the money comes from both the United States and Germany in terms of what pays for the Vatican, and I'd like to see that money dry up.
Yeah.
And really say, with their dollars, this man, this ugly toad of a disgusting man, does not speak for us.
Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and I believe we deserve an award for talking about the Pope for about 5 minutes and not mentioning the Hitler Youth. Ding, ding!
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
do we get a plaque?
Gonna brush your teeth later. Let's go on to the next story. And this is one, again, it's very big in the atheist community right now, but we should talk about it. This is an atheist teen discriminated against by a Tennessee high school. This comes to us from Chelsea Hoffman of Gather.com. Atheist teen Crystal Myers is a student at Lenore City High School in Lenore City. I'm probably pronouncing that wrong. Tennessee. And she's experiencing the same kind of discrimination which have affected freethinkers for centuries. But this is 2012, and it's the United States of America. Regardless of whether this teenage girl is in the Bible Belt, she is entitled to the same treatment as her Christian peers. When Crystal Myers tried to publish a story in the school newspaper, of which she is the editor, she was barred from posting it. No Rights, The Life of an Atheist, her essay, contained the following quote. Why does atheism have such a bad reputation? Why do we not have the same rights as Christians? She also expressed her displeasure with the school officials encouraging Christian activities and pro-Christian beliefs during school-coordinated functions. If this is true, then they are directly violating the federal law. This is not a big surprise, again, considering that it's the Bible Belt.
Well, according to some of those people, atheists are second-class citizens. I mean, George H.W. Bush famously said that atheists are not full citizens.
Yeah, we cannot claim citizenship because of our lack of belief in God.
And it really illustrates, again, how low the bar is for what's considered offensive on our front. And this is the same sort of statements that we see on a lot of billboards that go up. Simply stating that we exist, simply stating that we're just as capable of morality and should have the same rights as anyone else, you'd think that would be pretty much a no-brainer for just about anybody, including people who don't agree with us on this whole God thing.
And there is a strong whiff of irony coming off of this one, I have to admit. You know, it's like she's writing an editorial, something I did back in the day, about how atheists don't have the same rights and can't say the same things as Christians. She tries to publish it, and then her school says, no, you can't do that. Wow. Do people not pay attention at all? Did anybody bother to read this thing? It's crazy.
I think that's the question right there. Does anyone bother to read these things? And the answer, sadly, is really no.
Yeah.
That I think a lot of times they assume that everyone feels the same way about this horrible, trollish group of atheists as they do. That we're just this amoral, terrible lot of people who are just mean and trying to take their Jesus away.
Right.
And they simply don't understand why other people can't see that.
You're a bit closer to high school than I was. Did you encounter any of that? Have you met anybody who's encountered any of that around here? I imagine it being Washington, it's a little different, but it's a very strange state.
I did get a little bit of flack for it, but most of it was just if I told people I was an atheist, then it was like, really? Why? You know, it wasn't like, oh, you're an atheist. Like, how dare you, you know, deprecate my deity? It was just like, well, why? Why don't you believe?
It's really amazing how quickly people act as if, and Kirk Cameron did this earlier too,
yeah,
which is that they're throwing out the first punch, but they act as if the existence of somebody else already attacked them, and that anything they do, and Sam, we've both tabled at Seattle atheist events.
Oh yeah,
where a Christian, not always a fundamentalist, oftentimes a very liberal Christian, comes up and starts screaming at us as if the very existence of our sign, our banner above the tent, is an attack on itself.
Yeah.
I must say that the few conversations I actually had with people in high school about atheism, once I started talking to them about it and they realized that I was a reasonable person, people my age in this region tended to be accepting once I was able to speak my piece and say, I'm not here to change your beliefs.
Well, there is sort of a social phenomenon out there that paints the atheist as somebody who fights for no reason, who just gets it, just picks fights with people for whatever, or just ignores people's, you know, feelings and stuff like that, where I go out there and I say, yeah, I'm an atheist, and they all expect me to start telling them that they're all gonna die and their religion is stupid. Where, like, I went out for a drink with somebody this week. They just moved in from Colorado, from Colorado Springs, and they were very religious. And they sat down and we're talking, and he's like, well, you know, blah blah blah. I went to church and I'm very religious. And I'm like, oh really? I'm not. And he's like, well, I was warned. I'm like, oh okay. I'm off duty. I'm off duty right now. You don't have to
it's
worry
like,
about
watch
it.
Out for Sam. He's not one of us.
And once I said that to him, I'm off duty right now, it actually made it clear that I'm not here to tell him he's wrong about everything. It's just somebody I was introduced to. I was trying to have a good time. And and everything was fine from there. But because he was religious and people know about what I do, he was warned for beforehand and he was basically flinching the whole time. And once I actually broke that ice and said, nah, whatever, things were fine.
It's nice when people are willing to let that go.
Yeah.
Because I know that, yes, I talk about religion and this stuff on the show all the time. And we talk when we go into producer meetings. But if you go to a post show, I really don't talk about religion that much after the show's over.
No. You spend way more time talking about
Aquaman.
Comics. Aquaman, yeah.
Aquaman, comic books, Queen, all sorts of things that I enjoy. Zardoz.
Zardoz reference number one. Ding!
Yeah.
So these are the things that I generally talk about with somebody, even if they're really, really religious. And though I may not agree with them on the God issue, I bet you there's a whole lot of other things I do agree with them on.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Because Queen is awesome.
I got one email that I think we can do quickly. And this comes to us from Dave from the Internet.
The Internet, I've been there before. Really, really great bar on the Internet.
Good beaches, too. It's a little late, but I thought I'd comment on coming out anyway. It's a phrase and only a phrase. One shouldn't give it any more power than it on its own. Using the phrase only implies that a certain amount of danger exists in clarifying something about oneself. The amount of danger should be taken in context to the conversation. Depending on the group coming out as gay, atheist, or someone who dislikes Led Zeppelin would bring different consequences. A gay person trying to monopolize the phrase is like the religious right defining marriage as a union between man and woman.
Yeah, I think that that's the thing we talked about before, about coming out necessitates some kind of bravery, that there's something not necessarily dangerous about saying what you are, but there's a potential for social consequences. Like, say, for instance, if you're a backer of the wrong football club at a soccer game in, like, the UK,
yeah,
then there's danger, but anywhere else is almost nothing.
Right.
And as with pretty much anything, like, coming out, you're going to have people who are going to be accepting and people who aren't. like coming out as gay or coming out as an atheist. I was fairly lucky that me coming out as an atheist wasn't really that difficult because I'm in the Northwest and I'm from a fairly liberal family.
What do you guys think about the direct comparison between gay people owning the phrase coming out and religious people owning the phrase marriage? Is that an equitable comparison?
I think it is. I have no problem using the phrase coming out. And I think the fact that we want to use the phrase coming out is more of a compliment to the accomplishments of the gay rights movement.
Yeah.
Because we have this one thing in common, and it's never going to be a straight apples-to-apples comparison. No one movement is ever going to be exactly like another movement. You just change the nouns around. But I think the fact that they have this one thing in common, and we see the one thing that's been really successful with them, and we want to emulate it.
Yeah, I like the idea. I like the idea that no one group can claim a phrase, and I think there are some similarities between the idea of religion trying to claim marriage and gay people trying to claim coming out. But I don't like the social overtones that brings. I don't think gay people or the gay community are trying to own it the same way that religion is trying to own marriage. It's not directly equatable, but I think it's kind of similar.
And if there is a section of the gay community that is trying to own the phrase coming out, they're not really very widely publicized, because I haven't really read too much about it.
No, and I've only encountered people once or twice who said, we should not use the phrase coming out. So far, in the conversation we've had about this, we've done one whole episode on it, and a couple of segments, and a few emails now, people have been pretty positive about that phrase, and I think I'm going to go on continuing to use it.
Absolutely, and it reminds me a little bit of some of the arguments I've seen with folks that say that, oh, the gay rights movement shouldn't use the phrase civil rights. And
oh, yeah.
Again, I don't buy it. I think that if it applies, use it. And I think it applies.
And that's what it comes down to, is all of this, the LGBT community, the atheism community, you know, other ethnicities, it's all about rights. Everybody should have civil rights, and the thing about rights is that we're all supposed to get them. And that's what we've got time for today.
Halitosis.
My name is Sam Olney. With me was Nick Kennedy and Mike Gillis. As usual, music was by Chris Cullman. My production assistants were Darren Garvin and Rebecca Friedman. Our post show is at The Office at 5:30. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM media production. You can go to our website at askanatheist.tv, leave a voicemail at 206-420-0997, or email us at questions@askanatheist.tv. Next week, we're interviewing Elandy Button, and it's going to be an interesting one. See you next week.
Clay Radio, your conversation station. KLAY Lakewood, Tacoma, on 1180 AM.